RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi rewards diplomatic rank to Taswin Hanif. The number of tourists visiting Indonesia increases. Now the news in detail. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi rewards Taswin Hanif, a senior diplomat who died in a fire incident at the Indonesian embassy in Rome, Italy. The award is a promotion of a diplomatic minister counselor to become minister that diplomatic rank, which is one level below the ambassador. That was stated by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at the final respect to Taswin Hanif in Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta on Monday afternoon before being taken to the General Cemetery Karet Bifat Central Jakarta.
Dan sebagai apresiasi dan terima kasih atas jasa dan...
And as appreciation and gratitude for this service and dedication, the Minister of Foreign Affairs has increased Taswin Hanif's diplomatic rank from Minister Counselor to Minister. Furthermore, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that the awarding of promotion to Taswin Hanif is that he has served for 20 years in Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs. Meanwhile, spokesperson of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, on the same occasion to RRI World Service said, until now, the Indonesian government has not received information about the main cause of the fire incident of Indonesian embassy in Rome, Italy, which happened in December 2, 2015, because Italian police are still investigating.
Itu masih dalam proses.
It is still being processed. The information that we received from the Indonesian embassy in Rome is that the fire department and the police are still conducting an investigation. And the report will be submitted to our Indonesian embassy when the investigation is finished and complete. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir emphasized that the Indonesian government needs to complete explanation from the Italian government related to the main cause of the fire incident of Indonesian embassy in Rome for administrative purposes such as building insurance arrangement. Besides, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir denied if the Indonesian embassy building in Rome is an old building that does not have the international standard. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, all the Indonesian representative buildings around the world have international standards. As informed previously, Taswin Hanif was found lying on the floor during the fire cure at the embassy in Rome on December 2, 2015, and died in December 25, 2015 in Rome, Italy, at around 4:25 local time or 10:25 p.m. Western Indonesian time. During his career at the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Taswin Hanif is one of the negotiators in the climate change issue, an expert in human rights and development issue. Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, announced the number of foreign tourist arrivals to Indonesia in November 2015 increased 1.70% compared to the same period last year. This was stated by head of the agency Suryami in a press statement in Jakarta on Monday. However, Suramin admitted when compared with October 2015, the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia decreased by 5.85%. He also pointed out the decrease in the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia was due to the natural disasters occurring in several regions in Indonesia, such as volcanic eruptions.
Wisatawan mancanegara pada
the number of foreign tourists in November reached 777,500 visit, increase up to 1.7% compared to November last year, but when compared with October 2015, a decrease of 5.85% occurred. It happened among other because of eruptions.
Penurunan terjadi karena salah satunya di antaranya adalah karena kemarin ada letusan gunung.
Suryamin said the number of tourist arrivals to Indonesia is still dominated by visitors from Malaysia, Singapore, China, Australia and Japan. He also said that the year-on-year increase in foreign tourists of 1.70% also affected the increase in hotel room occupancy rate in 27 provinces in Indonesia, saying that the number reached an average of 56.08%, increased up to 1.63 points compared to November last year. The highest occupancy rate, according to Suryamin, occurred in Central Sulawesi, North Sulawesi and Yogyakarta province. Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, announced December inflation of 0.96% with the Consumer Price Index amounting to 122.99, while the inflation rate of calendar year from January to December 2015, as well as the inflation rate in December 2015 against December 2014, were respectively by 3.35%. In addition, head of the agency Suryamin in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday also said the year-on-year inflation rate for core components since December 2015 reached 3.95% respectively. The inflation rate in December 2015 was 0.96%. Year inflation was 3.35%. Month-to-month core inflation was 0.23%. And year-on-year core inflation component was 3.95%. Furthermore, Suryamin explained inflation occurs due to price increases in every index expenditure, namely foodstuff, housing, clothing, health, transportation, communication, and financial services. According to Suryamin, the highest inflation in Indonesia occurred in Merauke with 2.87%, while in Cirebon, the lowest with 0.27%. Agriculture and Farming Department of Bangkalanis Jawa recorded an increase of subsidized fertilizer quota for 2016 compared to 2015. The increase of the NPK additional quota is done deliberately by the government to make the farmers use more of the artificial fertilizer made by PT Petrokimia Gresik. NPK is considered to have the most complete content. According to head of the Agriculture and Farming Department of Bangkalan, Abdul Rasad, the number of subsidized fertilizer is far below the required fertilizer in Bangkalan of around 28,000 tons per year, although the quota has been added. However, Rasad said farmers needn't worry, for the shortage will be covered by non-subsidized fertilizer such by the provincial government of East Java. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian flag carrier Garuda Indonesia is planning to start a direct flight between Sanya, China and Denpasar, Bali on China 13th. Vice President of Garuda Indonesia for China Region 1, Iwayan Subagia, said in Beijing on Tuesday that the non-stop flight between Sanya and Denpasar will operate twice a week using an Airbus 330 aircraft. As Bali is the favorite destination for China's tourists visiting Indonesia, hence Garuda will continue to increase the number of direct flights to Bali through regular and unscheduled flights. Since January 2013, the national flight carrier has been operating four non-stop weekly flights on the Beijing-Denpasar route and has also added a new flight on the Guangzhou-Denpasar route at the end of 2015. Moreover, Garuda facilitates unscheduled flights for people from 11 Chinese cities that plan to visit Bali for the Chinese New Year and summer holidays. The opening of flights between several cities in Tiongkok and Bali is expected to support an increase in the number of Chinese tourists to Indonesia, which is targeted to reach 10 million people in the next 5 years since 2015. Jakarta administration is consulting forming a team to coordinate development and maintenance projects conducted by various city agencies, the central government, state-owned enterprises, the city industry and energy agency chief Yuli Hartono said on Monday. She stated the Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama was concerned about the overlapping projects in Jakarta. The Paris project also counts safety hazard, with cable sport utility and data not encased in its protective covering. The Coty Warren has been blamed for the deaths of two people who were electrocuted during heavy rainfall and subsequent flooding in the northern part of Jakarta last week. Yuli added that Governor Basuki will also establish a team to coordinate projects including those conducted by ministries, telecommunication operators and state-owned utility with PLN. The last item, Indonesia's banking watchdog has entrusted the biggest banks to set aside more capital this year to reduce risks to the financial sector. The Financial Service Authority OJK said on its website it will rank systematically important banks based on their size, interconnectedness with the financial system and the complexity of their business. The OJK may impose an additional 1% surcharge if a bank is found to be even more systematically important than OJK's current classification. The OJK added the regulation is part of Indonesia's move to fully adopt Basel III, a global regulatory framework for banks' capital adequacy norms. Last week, the central bank introduced a new requirement for banks to hold a countercyclical capital buffer. The regulator has already identified banks that are systematically important. OJK banking regulator Mulya Sregar was quoted as saying by the Investor Daily on Tuesday, although he declined to identify them. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on halal products competition in the ASEAN Economic Community. Actually, the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, EEC, is the first step toward making ASEAN countries not to have a barrier or bulkhead in trade between countries. There will be free flow of goods, services, and professional or skilled workers, plus capital which flows freely. In the AEC, there is an important sector, especially for countries with predominantly Muslim population like Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam, for instance, that is the halal industry. This sector has been a distinct trend in the world community, not only among Muslims alone, but also in many other religions. Halal industry is one sector of the economy that supports the establishment of Islam in Indonesia and into the real economy, which is currently being developed. Demands for halal food in the world community not only come from the Muslims alone, increased consumer preference of non-Muslim to consume halal products has become a distinctive factor. Currently, emerging trend among various religious beliefs is to choose and buy products with the halal logo. This is certainly a major boost for the halal industry. The reason is because the halal food is of good quality in terms of hygiene and health is maintained. Since the enactment of halal products in Indonesia through Law No. 33 of 2014, it has been confirmed that any products that enter, circulate, and traded in the territory of Indonesia must be certified halal, or maybe in English, kosher. The government is responsible for organizing halal product assurance. Many challenges to be faced by Indonesia in halal certification. Producers who have registered halal certification so far only based on mere awareness. Unfortunately, of all producers in Indonesia, just a few who have the awareness of the importance of halal certification. In addition to procedure, which reported is complicated and relatively expensive, making producers reluctant to register their industry in order to have halal certificate. In addition, lack of adequate human resources and infrastructure, such as expert auditor in halal products, also help constrain. Competition comes from other countries that are ready with halal certification and application of Sharia as a whole. In neighboring countries, the implementation of Sharia or Islamic way has received full support from the government, so that the Sharia banking too has been more developed. Until now, Indonesia has not had a lawful industrial area as in neighboring country. Facing the ASEAN economic community, Indonesia's opportunity in the field of halal industry does have a lot of challenges. If the management of the halal industry in Indonesia is not good, it is feared that a very large share of the market will be taken over by other countries that have more readiness in managing the halal industry. Not long ago, chairman of the World Halal Food Council said the Indonesian halal products can sink or become less competitive if it does not immediately tidy up in terms of products' competitiveness. According to him, Indonesian business people still not quick enough compared to those of neighboring countries related to the ASEAN free market. One criterion, many Indonesian products that do not have halal certificate. As the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, Indonesia should be able to lead the market share of halal products in ASEAN. Well, that was commentary today on halal products competitiveness in the ASEAN economic community. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with the event that occurred on January the 5th, 1973 in Indonesia. The United Development Party was founded. The United Development Party, or PPP, is a political party in Indonesia established on January the 5th, 1973. The party is the result of a combination of four religious parties, namely NU, the United Party of Islam Indonesia, the United Tarbiyah Islamiyah, and Indonesian Muslim Association. Chairman, the first at the time, was Muhammad Syafaat Mintaredja. The incorporation of the four religious political parties is aimed at simplification of the party system in Indonesia in the first of the first general election in the New Order era in 1973. Next is January the 5th, 1968. Alexander Dubček comes to power in Czechoslovakia, initiates political reform called socialism with a human face. Alexander Dubček was a politician of Czechoslovakia from 1968 until 1969. He became General Secretary of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia on January the 5th, 1968. Sometime after serving as Chairman of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia, he announced political reforms called socialism with a human face. After that, he introduced the reform and freedom in the communist country. He led the workers to oppose the bureaucracy of Stalin basis in 1968. However, he was resisted and condemned by the great old group in the party. As a result, the Soviet Union itself was forced to intervene and forcibly enter Czechoslovakia on August 20, 1968. Dubček was later sacked and fired. Next is an event on January the 5th, 1933. The construction of the Golden Gate Bridge along San Francisco Bay begins. The Golden Gate Bridge is a suspension bridge that connects San Francisco, California, in the San Francisco Peninsula and Marin County in California. Overall, the bridge length was 2,727 meters with a height of 230 meters above the water surface. Chairman of the technician from the Golden Gate Bridge construction project was Joseph Strauss. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on Bali Island, the best in Asia. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Bali Province won the award for the second best island in the world and the best in Asia from Travel Plus Leisure 2015 magazine. As reported by Travel and Leisure.com, The first ranking of the world's best awards was occupied by the islands of the Galapagos, Ecuador. Bali province, which is known as the Island of Gods, is also named as the best island in Asia by magazine Travel and Leisure 2015 over the Maldives and Phuket, Thailand. As the second best island in the world, Bali is only slightly under Galapagos Islands. 2 years ago, Bali was also awarded as the most beautiful island in the world by readers of Condé Nast Traveler magazine of Russia in 2013. Although there are many beautiful islands in the world, the charm and the beauty of Bali remains the top choice for Russian tourists then. Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Travel, or ASITA, Bali chapter Iketut Ardana said that the rating was given by tourists from all over the world who have been to Bali. According to Ketut Ardana, comfort and hospitality is still the mainstay of the world tourism. That's why in Bali, comfort and security is something unnegotiable. In addition, the problem of order and cleanliness is also a major concern. Related to that, Bali Governor Imade Mangkupastike urged people, particularly the youth, to change the behavior that is not good for the better one. The safety factor in Bali need to be maintained. Mangkupastike called on Balinese to be more open, tolerant towards each other, and be better than ever. According to him, Bali will remain a tourist magnet. He emphasized that foreign tourists will keep coming to Bali to enjoy the natural beauty of Bali. Meanwhile, Minister of Tourism of Indonesia Arief Yahya said he was very proud because Bali was chosen as the number 2 best islands in the world, according to a survey conducted by an American travel magazine Travel and Leisure at the end of 2015. In this annual list, the magazine gives Bali a score of 88.98. Not only that, Bali was also awarded the Hall of Fame because it made into the list for 10 consecutive years. Minister Arief Yahya asserted that he was very proud of the trust placed by the world community to the island of Bali, which has beautiful landscape, unique culture, and warm-hearted people. In the future, according to the minister, other tourist destinations in Indonesia, which are no less beautiful, will also be promoted. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January the 5th, 2016. We begin with Kompas newspaper, which in its headline wrote, "Regions enjoy infrastructure." Several regions began feeling the infrastructure development. Several regions had received the advantages from the railway, toll road, and dam development. Many economic potential can be cultivated while the infrastructure is being developed. President Joko Widodo, when opening the Indonesian Stock Exchange or BEI in Jakarta on Monday, also implied optimism of the future. We continue with Media Indonesia. Minister Yudi maneuvers. The move of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Yudi Krisnandi, who held a press conference on ministerial or institutional evaluation amidst the issue of working cabinet reshuffle, created controversy. The public expert of Indonesian Institute of Science, or LIPI, Ikrar Nusa Bakti in Jakarta Monday, said Yudi maneuvered to avoid the reshuffle done by President Joko Widodo. Meanwhile, Republika wrote Saudi Arabia and Iran asked to make peace. The government of Saudi Arabia cut the diplomatic relationship with Iran on Sunday, January 3, 2016. United States and European Union reacted quickly. They urged Iran and Saudi Arabia to end the tension in order to avoid the conflict from spreading in the Middle East. Listener, we end today's headline with Sindo, which wrote 28.51 million are still poor. Indonesia needs a special strategy to significantly suppress the poverty rate. The strategy must pay attention to the characteristic of the poor people, who mostly work in agriculture sector and have low education. According to the Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, the amount of poor people in September 2015 reached 28.51 million, or 11.13% of the total population. The number decreased slightly into 80,000 people if compared to March 2015 with 28.59 million or 11.22% of the total population. Dear listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi rewards Taswin Hanif, a senior diplomat who died in a fire incident at the Indonesian embassy in Rome, Italy. The award is a promotion of diplomatic minister counselor to become minister, that diplomatic rank which is one level below the ambassador. Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, announced the number of foreign tourist arrivals to Indonesia in November 2015 increased 1.70% compared to the same period last year. Agriculture and Farming Department Bangkalanis Japa recorded an increase of subsidized fertilizer quota for 2016 compared to 2015. Indonesian flight carrier Garuda Indonesia is planning to start a direct flight between Shanghai, China and Denpasar, Bali on January 13. Vice President of Garuda Indonesia for China Region 1, Iwayan Subagia, said in Beijing on Tuesday that the non-stop flight between Shanghai and Denpasar will operate twice a week using Airbus 330 aircraft. Jakarta administration is considering forming a team to coordinate development and maintenance projects conducted by various city agencies, the central government and state-owned enterprises, the City Industry and Energy Agency Chief Yuliartore said on Monday. Indonesia's banking watchdog has instructed the biggest banks to set aside more capital this year to reduce risks to the financial sector. The Financial Service Authority (OJK) said on its website it will rank systematically important banks based on their size, interconnectedness with the financial system, and the complexity of their business. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I would like to invite all of you to travel to Southeast Sulawesi Province and visit Tengeno Tourism Village. So stay tuned. Listener, Bombana is a district in the Southeast Sulawesi, rich in mineral sources that have become the target of investors. But Bombana also has a wealth of culture, the beauty of the marine life, natural scenery and historical sites. The district also has islands with huge potential to be developed as a tourist destination. One of them is Kabaena Island. On this island, there is a tourist village named Tengeno, which is used as Bombana Regency tourist icon. Listener, the village is located at an altitude of 700 meters above the sea level, so the weather is cool and has a number of mainstay attractions, situated on the slopes of Mount Sangita, which is also known as the roof of the Southeast Sulawesi Tangkeno village, and its surroundings are covered with clouds at all times. The village is facing the peak of the Mount Watu Sangya and covered with the clouds. Therefore, Tangkeno is often dubbed the land in the clouds, with a cool air and quite stunning tourist spots. There are 8 places of interest here, namely Bantea Ponahuagola, a palm sugar making cottage, land in the clouds Tangkeno Tourism Village Gate, Fort Tawulaagi, Banteo Mpogurua, or the House of Learning, Tangkeno Platform, Fort Tuntunatari, Tondo Panu Waterfalls, and the top of Mount Sabampolulu. From this spot, the mountaintop of Sangyawita can be seen clearly, which is quite unique, for there is a crown-shaped large rock directly above Sangyawita mountaintop. Listener, one of the attractions in the Tangkeno tourist village most visited by tourists is Fort Tuntuntari. It has a very strategic location, because from here, you can see the whole Kabayan Island from all directions, including the township of Tangkeno, Sabampolul mountain peaks, and the sea surrounding the Kabayan Island. This is a form of unique and distinctive characteristic of Fort Tuntuntari compared to the other fortresses in the world. Tuntuntari's shape is circular or oval, like the shape of a boat, or in the local language it is called katinting. Covering an area approximately 30 square meters, the fort was built in the days of Kingdom Moronene Tokutua in the 1600s. Inside the fort, there are some ancestor tombs of Tangkeno. Tuntuntari Fort is quite important for all people of the Kabayan Island, because it is supposed to be the safest place and the last resort or protection for the people in Tokutua or Kotua from any danger from the enemy attack. Listener, Tangkeno Tourist Village is equipped with various facilities. For accommodation, you can stay at the Plaza Tangkeno or in one of the 10 homestays built by the local authorities. To get there from Rumibia, Bombana District Capital, you can use a boat to Tangkeno. The distance is approximately 17 kilometers. From Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi Capital, heading Bombana, you can use land transportation for approximately 2 until 3 hours. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, featuring Tangkeno Tourism Village. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello there, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and idioms and guide you in using them in everyday conversation. Today's topic is memperkenalkan tamu or introducing a guest. First, I'll introduce words related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Memperkenalkan. Memperkenalkan. In English, to introduce. Tamu. Tamu. Guest. Ke toko roti. Ke toko roti. To the bakery. Membeli. Membeli. To buy. Kue. Kue. Cakes. Acara. Acara. Occasion. Teman lama. Teman lama. Old friend. Nama. Nama. Name. Kebetulan. Kebetulan. Happen to be or by chance. Sekretaris. Sekretaris. Secretary. Kantor cabang. Kantor cabang. Subsidiary or branch office. Kurang lebih. Kurang lebih. About or more or less. 5 tahun. 5 tahun. 5 years. Bekerja. Bekerja. To work. Bertemu. Bertemu. To meet. Direktur. Direktur. Director. Senang. Senang. Nice or happy. Makan siang. Makan siang. Together. Lunch. Bersama. Bersama. Together. Sekarang. Sekarang. Now. Datang. Datang. To come. Next is simple conversation on memperkenalkan tamu or introducing a guest. I'll say every sentence slowly twice. You can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Nancy at the office. Saya mau ke toko roti membeli kue-kue. Saya mau ke toko roti membeli kue-kue. In English, I want to go to the bakery to buy some cakes. Ada acara apa? Ada acara apa? What's the occasion? Nanti akan ada tamu. Nanti akan ada tamu. We are having a guest after the guest arrived. Perkenalkan, ini tamu saya. Perkenalkan, ini tamu saya. In English, let me introduce. This is my guest. Dia adalah teman lama saya. Dia adalah teman lama saya. She is my old friend. Namanya Hannah. Namanya Hannah. Her name is Hannah. Kebetulan dia sekretaris di kantor cabang kita. Kebetulan dia sekretaris di kantor cabang kita. She happens to be a secretary in our subsidiary. Dia sudah bekerja kurang lebih 5 tahun. Dia sudah bekerja kurang lebih 5 tahun. She's been working for about 5 years. Dia kesini mau bertemu dengan Bapak Direktur. Dia kesini mau bertemu dengan Bapak Direktur. She came here to see the director. Senang berkenalan dengan Anda. Senang berkenalan dengan Anda. Nice to meet you. Bagaimana kalau kita makan siang bersama? Bagaimana kalau kita makan siang bersama? How about having lunch together? Baiklah, sekarang saya ke tempat Bapak Direktur dulu. Baiklah, sekarang saya ke tempat Bapak Direktur dulu. Okay, now I'm going to see the director first. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduced Indonesian vocabulary and idioms and guide you to use them in a conversation. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih. Until next lesson then. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment introducing Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to through the shortwave of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program via audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce an Indonesian popular singer, Sherina Munaf. Well, let's listen to her song entitled Sendiri.
Thank you. just like in other parts of the world, Indonesia also has many singers with extraordinary talent. One of them is the beautiful singer Sherina Munaf. Sherina is certainly a familiar figure in Indonesia. Known as a former child singer, Sherina, who was born in Bandung on June 11, 1990, now has become a young celebrity who is very talented. Not only in the country, Sherina's popularity has also penetrated the international entertainment world. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Seribu Topeng by Sherina Munaf.
Seorang ratu bunga coklat dan puisi, tapi itu hanyalah awal dari sebuah drama yang terpaksa ku saksikan. Okay.
singers, Sherina Munaf is now included in the young celebrities list, who is very popular. She started her career in the entertainment world since she was 9 years old. At the time, she managed to get the attention of many in the country through her first album entitled Andai Aku Besar. Her first appearance on the musical stage in the country was fairly remarkable. She drew praise and admiration from various parties. In 2001, her popularity increased after she began to explore a career in acting. At the time, Sherina played along with some young artists such as Derby Romero, Alisa Subandono, starring in a movie entitled Petualangan Sherina. Since childhood, Sherina Carey has been fairly remarkable because she got on the stage with well-known Westlife music group. Unfortunately, despite already demonstrated her extraordinary talent, Sherina's career had to be stopped because she had to continue her education. In 2007, Sherina resumed her career by releasing an album entitled Prima Donna. Since then, Sherina's music career began to climb up like today. Well, listeners, before we conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Prima Donna and Ku Di Sini by Sherina Munaf.
Ku tahu suatu saat akan ku hapus semuanya. Yang selama ini membelengguku, ku tahu suatu saat ku akan benar-benar hidup dengan gaya dan aturan yang sudah berabad ku ramalkan. Jadi tunggu saja, pasang kelima panca indramu, camkan dengan pasti. Sebuah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.